in our diet, we have needed more fiber. There's been too much that's processed and refined out. And so the better we can eat more fibrous foods, we're getting more prebiotics. The fact that we're taking whole grains and fermenting and concentrating them, we're enhancing that fiber and especially the prebiotic fiber component of it.
Do you want to become self-motivated to live on purpose and curate a life you love? I'm Kay Cote, and you're listening to the Fit Fabulous Life podcast. This podcast exists as your community where you can hear encouraging stories and discover resources that you can start using today. Today, we hear from Bob Thornburg, founder of Probiotine. When working in ethanol production, Bob discovered a highly nutritious, gut-supporting byproduct that remained after making the ethanol. Bob shares the evolution of his company and how pivoting allowed him to create a product that is highly beneficial to our health. On this episode, learn how you can use prebiotics, which supports a healthy gut microbiome, and how it affects your entire body. Learn how incorporating pre and probiotics can help you stay healthy and happy and live your best life. Bob, can you share a little bit about your backstory?
Well, I sure can. It's interesting, as I was thinking through some things and how to present, it reassures me on how the evolution of what I've been doing ties so tightly into gut health. I came to the area to be the manager of the ethanol plant that's in Walhalla. It's since been torn down several years ago that I arrived. But in that setting, you're cooking and you're fermenting grain. So you're using microbes and you're using them strategically to create, in this case, ethanol. And so that was the reason that I, came to the area from the Twin Cities, and we're dealing in huge fermenters, but essentially we're doing something very similar to what the body does when there's food presented and you're fermenting that, you're digesting it, and then fermenting besides. And so my background in producing ethanol fit that way. And we had put an emphasis on the use of the feed that remained after you make ethanol. That was the big attractive target. But really, all the grain that remains is tremendously valuable because you're only fermenting the starch and making ethanol out of that. So all the protein, all of everything else is being concentrated and that is, and being fermented. So it's being improved digestively. And a lot of times people have considered that a waste product. And boy, was it ever not a waste product. It was an enhanced product, but yet it didn't get viewed that way or used that way. And so I put a big emphasis on improving the use of what remained after you make ethanol. And so that was put into more convenient forms and put for pasture cattle so that you could supplement their diets. And so all those things were part of, my backstory. But the fact that you're processing a raw material, improving its digestive utility, and putting it to better work is exactly what we're doing on the food side, because we as animals need our food to be digested and processed. And increasingly we understand that you're feeding that microbial population that's in your intestinal tract, and that's what's contributing to good health. So interestingly, that's what, how my backstory went and how it ties into what we're doing. And we just feature fermentation now in our company, Food First, to focus on the direct fed microbial component, that we are not trying to make ethanol. In fact, we're growing nutritional yeast and improving ever more the value of what is in those grain products and fermenting away the starch, which our diet has way too much of anyway, the Western diet. You know, there's way too much starch and way too much sugar. And so we're kind of taking, you know, all of what's good about whole grains, fermenting away, which we don't need so much of, and enhancing everything else and allowing the body and the microbes to use it better. So that's a little bit of backstory, but it gets into what we're doing now every bit as much.
You know, that's really insightful. And it just opens up this whole new world. I absolutely love that in today's day and age, companies like yours are seeing waste products as renewed energy, or it's not a waste product. There's something there that's beneficial. And, you know, a couple of years ago when I actually first heard of your products, like the Probiotin, when you guys were speaking at an event, you had talked about this. And now correct me if I'm wrong. Now, did the microbiome bars, were the bars there at that time?
Yeah, but just barely.
Okay. You know,
the main product that we produce is the probiotin, and that's the, you know, we cook and ferment a blend of small grains. And so, you know, we're fermenting away all of that starch, and the probiotin then is that prebiotic fiber, that real digestive aid component that we make. And the bars were an extension of that to put it in a different form. So it became an ingredient to put into something that, you know, a person can just, you know, open the package and eat on the gun and maybe skip a meal and have one of these bars instead. So probiotin is a main component of the microbiome bar, but the probiotin itself is the main product of our company.
I was very intrigued with it because I was learning a lot about the gut-brain connection and, you know, feeding that, you know, you talked a little bit about the microbiome, and that's something I'm very interested in because like many individuals out there right now, I struggle with that. And I think many people have found those struggles. So it's really intriguing. I'm excited to see what you bring with the products you create. You touched on it a bit, but what inspired you to actually create the probiotin and microbiome bar products?
Well, we had been looking at how to optimize the fermentation of grain so that we could be, you know, secure in our main company, had a way to be successful in the event ethanol plants failed, for example, and there weren't the byproducts forthcoming. So we were looking at how would we survive that event. And so then we specialized in just the fermentation to optimize it entirely. So that was kind of the genesis. And we worked with USDA on a special research program that we had qualified for. And this was back in the late 90s, in fact, where we had presented that. And then coming into the early 2000s, we were able to take what we had learned and what we had been hypothesizing and presented it in a way that we then put it into a product line specifically for horses. And that, you know, as a companion animal, people pay more attention to their horses than they do to their cattle, if you will. And so when they saw their, you know, the hooves were stronger and the coat was shinier and the eyes were clear, and there was a pretty dramatic, noticeable difference because, you know, we were paying even better attention to that equine gut, if you will, where they have a lot of problems. And so we were solving those, and that was kind of the stimulus because we saw what had happened so closely in that regard. And we know that there's parallels to people. And a lot of our horse customers really insisted we make a food product for them. And it was literally that way that it occurred, that they said, we want this ourselves also. And, you know, we said, well, we're not in that business. We, you know, we don't have food grade facilities and this and that. And they said, well, you better do that. And so as we explored it and everything, we said, well, that's a bit of a departure, a significant departure in many respects. But it made all sorts of sense because fundamentally we were doing the same thing. And so we did it for people with an even more focused approach on what we can do to enhance the, you know, microbial combination. And so that was really the genesis of it. It evolved pretty naturally. And it really, it brought us into this arena with many, many years of experience under our belt, but without dealing, you know, on the people side. Well, now that we're dealing on the people side, you know, it's been amazing how well it's been received in that regard, because people understand that, you know, those same features and factors are going on. And so we've benefited from that and feel like we've elevated it now, because on the human side, there was not so much awareness of prebiotics and that type of thing, because we were busy feeding the microbial populations all along. And now there's better awareness on the human side of what prebiotic fiber even is.
That is very profound and very true. And it's so fascinating to me. And it's actually very inspiring, because it's fun to hear how products and companies come about, you know. And it was, you know, starting with caring for animals and seeing the benefit the animal had. And we're like, okay, how can we get this? Which is really great. And I've always heard about probiotics, but it wasn't until recently that I learned about prebiotics. Can you kind of go into the differences between a probiotic and a prebiotic?
Oh, you bet. There's more and more awareness of probiotics, and people are just familiar with that term, maybe a little unfamiliar with what it specifically means. But the fact that there's more awareness of it is helpful to us, especially explaining prebiotics. But probiotic is the actual organism that's giving your body a beneficial result. You know, if you've got bacteria in your digestive system, which you do, you've got both good and you've got bad, bad ones. And so you want to keep the balance, and you want to make sure that the good ones stay, you know, in proper health and can outcompete the bad ones, so you don't break with disease or illness. And so that's a very significant part of your immune system. And so those probiotic bacteria, those good bacteria, are the ones that you want to make sure are in good shape. And so that's a viable actual organism, a probiotic. Now, a prebiotic, that's the term, it's the food for the probiotic. That probiotic can't take a T-bone steak, for example, you know, like, you know, they need a different form of food for them to flourish and to multiply and be in good populations so that they can protect you. And so the better we feed the existing probiotics, the better immune system response you have. And that's what prebiotics are. And prebiotics are largely, you hear it prebiotic and then you hear prebiotic fiber, a lot of times used in the same sentence. Because a prebiotic fiber, it's the form of food that probiotic can consume, because the body doesn't digest those. That fiber goes kind of right through, gets into your intestinal tract, and then those probiotic bacteria that are there, they're looking for lunch, and here it comes in this prebiotic form. And we get those, you know, naturally in a lot of our foods, but we kind of don't get quite enough, because we don't get enough fiber. In our diet, we have needed more fiber. There's been too much that's processed and refined out. And so the better we can eat more fibrous foods, we're getting more prebiotics. The fact that we're taking whole grains and fermenting and concentrating them, we're enhancing that fiber and especially the prebiotic fiber component of it. So probiotics, again, that's the actual organism. Prebiotics, that's the food for that organism.
Thank you for clarifying that, because I think it is a common misconception or a common confusion, you know, recently too, in the last couple of years, I've even discovered the difference of the two. And one of the catalysts to my curiosity came from when I first heard about your products, as well as learning about the effects of that on our gut microbiome and the importance of the gut microbiome. People hear this term a lot, gut microbiome, but they don't really understand what it is and how it affects us. Can you go into what the gut microbiome is and how it kind of affects our daily lives?
You know, the microbiome is, it's that environment, essentially. It's what all those microbes are living within this certain environment. So your gut microbiome, you have other kind of microbiomes on the surface of your skin and this and that. But the gut microbiome is discussing where all those organisms are and what they're doing to, you know, to help keep you healthy. And so there's better awareness of that increasingly. As an example, how recent some of this is just, you know, in our normal understanding, 1996 is when the term prebiotic even was coined. People didn't have a way to describe that component that was feeding the probiotic or the good bacteria, the beneficial bacteria. And so it's that new, and it's taking a while for it to become understood throughout the rest of the world and everything. But it's coming, and it's coming fast now, because there's more awareness of probiotics and people are taking the actual organisms. But you know, if you're taking two or three probiotic organisms, for example, you know, for one, it's kind of difficult. Sometimes they don't make it through the stomach acids necessarily. And those who do are getting down into your intestinal tract where they're supposed to do the good. And there's only one or two strains. And yet you need about 1,000 strains that are kind of already there. And it's, and some are just more depleted. So to take a probiotic, while it's good, it also means that you've got another option of helping those that are already there, you know, feed them better. And so the combination of a probiotic and a prebiotic becomes increasingly important. And our emphasis has been more on the prebiotic side.
That's really been a huge thing coming about. And you know, you guys are creating this amazing product that feeds and keeps healthy the bacteria, the good bacteria in our kind of in our gut and in our intestinal tract. And you're right. You know, there's a lot that hasn't really been talked about until recently about the importance of a healthy gut microbiome. Can you kind of go into the benefits of what a healthy gut microbiome means? Why should people care about the importance of a healthy gut microbiome?
Well, I'll tell you, that's the finger on the pulse, that very question, because it really addresses what's going on and what can we do to improve our own condition and eating better and exercising better. We hear it all the time, but it is so true. And for example, mechanically, what's going on, and we saw this on the animal side, if an animal gets too much starch or sugar, it creates an acidic condition that can, you know, that can create problems, and they get acidosis. It can be a disease. And they, for that animal that should be grazing, if they get too much starch, they run into that problem, and we see it played out that way. Well, the human, pretty similar in that too much starch or sugar, and then the organisms that are trying to help feed on that or break that down or use it aren't necessarily the ones that you want to have, you know, hanging around in big populations. You need you know, you need some of them, certainly, but you don't want to get out of balance. And that's the big thing that we're seeing, is that in this world now, there's a better awareness of just a balance in that microbial population that's in your digestive tract. And so you want to make sure that the beneficial bacteria that produce butyrate are the ones that you want to be sure don't get depleted. When we're feeding that probiotic bacteria, you know, they're digesting it and they're giving off a waste product. And the waste product is, in a, you know, from a lot of the beneficial bacteria, is butyrate. It's a short chain fatty acid that coats your intestinal tract and helps your digestive system and protects it. And so the big thing becomes keeping that proper balance and making sure that those butyrate producing bacteria, you know, have the environment that they can work best. And, you know, too much sugar gets to be a problem. Too much starch can be a problem. We have to have some, certainly, but not enough fiber is where we've been lacking in our diet. So that's kind of, you know, the thing that we've found is increasingly now leading to some discoveries on long COVID sufferers, that their gut is just, there's a dysbiosis, they call it, or an imbalance. And they find they don't have enough of the butyrate producing bacteria. They got too many of the others. And so they kind of linger and their body is suffering. But right now we have increasing evidence in front of us of a specific problem that's just emerging from COVID.
That's really interesting because, you know, even just taking it kind of like in thinking about this in my personal life, when I'm taking in more starches and more sugars, I do notice a shift in not only how I feel within my gut, but I sometimes will often have like a fuzzy head, or, you know, I will have some other things. We're talking about the gut right now. And that's, we think the gut is our, you know, everything from, it's, you know, honestly, everything from when we put food into our mouth to when everything exits our body, that is our complete gut system. But there's one organ we don't normally associate with the gut, and that is the brain. Why is it important to think about the gut and the brain as part of that system?
Oh, that it's such an interesting area. And you had alluded to that early on, and I'm glad we're back to that point, because they call it the gut-brain axis, that there's a connection between our gut and our brain, and our gut kind of a lot of times tells our brain a number of things. It's like those microbes communicate. And it's a mysterious in many respects, but it's a real factor. And it's just on the early side of people understanding it. But, you know, when you talk about having a gut feeling about something and people just kind of understand that, but it's translating from, you know, your brain is triggering some of those responses. But where food can influence mood, that's part of why it influences mood, because that gut-brain axis is evident. And it's just an intriguing kind of situation. Metabolically, you know, there's other factors to what can be digested, certainly, so that things can pass the brain barrier and that type of thing. And understanding that keeping your gut in good balance can have an impact on your mental well-being, because those microbes are communicating with your brain.
Yes, that is so true. And, you know, there are a lot of great resources out there that clear the air on the brain part of it. And I think it's just such a great correlation. You know, it's incredible and amazing that we're having products come out on the market that are simple, that are made from grains, that are made from things of our earth, that can help us feel better in a bunch of respects. So that is really great. And, you know, you touched a little bit on something. You know, you mentioned COVID, and we all have been through this 2 years of crazy, and there's a lot of different things out there that we're just on the tip of the iceberg, because it is such a new thing that we're dealing with in our world. And, you know, you were talking about the studies that show potential of the gut bacteria imbalances associated possibly with various problems, including long form COVID. Can you kind of dive into your research on that and what you mean by that?
Yeah, it's an area that we're certainly intrigued about because of the fact that we're dealing with gut microbial influences and how your diet influences that gut microbial makeup. And so as I was reading reports that were coming out of the British Medical Journal and their subset publication, Gut, you know, they were doing research that found that people who were suffering from long COVID, you know, they had gotten over COVID, but they still were having, you know, the brain fog, the, you know, other kinds of issues, the fatigue in particular that they had suffered with. And so that term kind of emerged as long COVID. And when they found that the people who had long COVID, their gut bacterial populations were unbalanced. They didn't have enough of the butyrate producing bacteria. And so as I'm looking at that, I'm saying, oh boy, that's such an important factor. And is it something that our product can help, you know, restore that balance? And we don't know how it's going to affect directly. And we're not suggesting that it's medicine. We're just saying the corollaries are incredible, because as they're talking about the gut being unbalanced, or dysbiosis is the term, then they're saying you want to rebalance it. And they say, eat more fibrous foods, you know, get better exercise, do those kinds of things. And so for us, we just feel that it's just consistent with the messaging we were talking about before there was even, you know, long COVID as a term. And so we see it at, you know, a unique kind of corollary, coincidence, however you want to say it. And we want to be cautious in that, but we want to be sure that, you know, if people are understanding a gut imbalance is what's more pervasive in, you know, in certain negative outcomes, well, it makes sense to try to balance that gut back up. And the ways to do it, you know, increasingly are understood as fiber, and, you know, and that's a feature of ours, the prebiotic fiber and the protein. So we're wanting to see direct evidence, certainly, that we would love to be able to crow about that. But in the meantime, we think it's just an important factor to be aware of.
You know, this is so true. And what I like about what you're doing is you're using simple, wholesome products that won't really cause any harm to add in. And that's where I think getting back to these basics can be a huge way, even if it isn't or is directly affected, it is still something that we can incorporate into our diet with no harm done. And with just the ability, like, we're still adding a health benefit by trying these out, and not, you know, it doesn't necessarily, it's just something simple that we can do for our bodies. I think that simplicity is a really good key about looking at life right now, is kind of getting back to these basics.
I absolutely couldn't agree more. It's so interesting. Sometimes, you know, I use the term, sometimes the profound is profoundly simple. And I really believe that, because sometimes we have to remind ourselves some of these simple things have a profound effect. And just simply paying better attention to your diet and exercising as you should, it's pretty simple, but it has a profound effect.
Oh, I love how you said that. And I'm a huge supporter too of just like simplicity, and it's very different than easy. And like, I don't want to confuse people, because sometimes we want something to be much more sensational, but it's really simplicity. I found in a variety of aspects of my life that going back to the basics, is the way of the future. It sounds almost like it shouldn't be, but in reality, I think we need to go back to that wholesome way. I mean, I grew up on a farm and I grew up eating the dirt on the carrots, you know, really.
Well, you know, it really did in ways that we're understanding better, because a lot of that kind of challenged your immune system, and your immune system needs some challenges in order to be robust. If you don't scrape your knee or you don't eat a little bit of dirt, if you're in too sterile of an environment, your body's immune system doesn't get some of that work that it needs, just like you need exercise. You know, you need exercise for your muscles to restore and regroup and build back stronger. And so as simple as that sounds, a big part of that is very true. You know, we just need to keep our immune system in, you know, keep it well exercised and working well. Don't overdo it or you get sick, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting balance.
It really is. It really is. And I think it's all about finding that harmony. And like recently I've been having some discussions with people about the word nuance, or the word like the individualized care. And for each person that may look differently. And that's like a beautiful thing, is how we're taking care of ourselves is uniquely ours, and owning that and using simple tactics to build a foundation that works for each individual. I think that is such a key in thinking forward in wellness and how we care for ourselves and our families as the future comes.
I'll say amen to that.
It's been such a joy to have you on the show today. I appreciate all of your insight, and I would love to connect our listeners to what you're doing. How can they find the probiotin? How can they find the microbiome bars? How can people connect with you?
Yeah, probiotin is probiotein. So it's like protein with bio in the middle of it, if you will. So probiotin.com will take you to the website. And and that's the main product. The microbiome bar with probiotin as an ingredient is also featured there. And one of the big keys that we're finding, and I do this myself when I take it, I want to keep it pretty simple because I don't want to have to take all sorts of things all the time. And I put half a glass of juice in there, and I put my tablespoon of probiotin in and shake it. And then I drink it, and it's that simple. But the reason I mention that, Kay, is because stirring it doesn't stir real well.
You got to shake and not stirred.
Yeah, so shake and not stirred is, I think James Bond was right. He knew this. He knew this is coming.
I love that. That's a great, yeah. It's like a great little martini to start the day.
There you go. I'm gonna steal that if you don't mind.
Totally. I love it. Well, this has been such a great chat, Bob. And I'm excited to circle back with you on more about what you're doing, more about the research you're doing, and the products you have in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, head on over to Apple Podcasts and give it a 5-star rating and leave a review. I love to hear from you. Thanks again for tuning in, and always remember how fabulous you really are.